Welcome to NoSpinHomilies.com. I invite you to join me to reflect upon the homilies of Father Dan. Father Dan will challenge us to open our heart, mind, and soul to the Word of God. Father Dan will draw upon sacred scripture, along with art, literature, and the lives of the saints, to help us grow in our love and knowledge of the scripture. In doing so, we can become the living Word of God in this world. Now it is my pleasure to present to you No Spin Homilies.
Blood is absolutely vital for us to sustain life in our bodies. Blood has many different functions. It carries oxygen, nutrients, vitamins, even medicine to different tissues and organs of our body. A deficiency in the supply or the quality will impair the quality of life. For example, if we're anemic and have a low blood count, we'll feel lethargic and low in energy. Worse yet, God forbid, if we are in an accident and we lose a lot of blood, our organs, which are dependent upon blood for sheer life, will be impaired, and potentially we may lose our lives. And so blood is incredibly important for life itself. That's why the Red Cross has that very famous advertisement for donations. They say, "Give the gift of life. Donate blood." Now, the people in the ancient world also recognized that blood was synonymous to life. And we see that prominently on display in the first reading from the book of Exodus. Here, Moses and the Israelites are entering into a covenant with God. Now, this covenant is ratified by a sacrifice, just like all the other Old Testament covenants. Yet in this case, young bulls are sacrificed. Listen now. "Then they sent certain young men of the Israelites to offer holocausts and sacrifices of young bulls." Now, it's interesting what Moses does after the sacrifice. The blood that comes from this sacrifice, Moses then sprinkles half of it on the altar to symbolize God. And then he sprinkles the other half on the people themselves, symbolizing not just the promise of fidelity to the covenant, but more importantly, that this covenant with God is now a communion of life. And from this communion, God, like blood with our bodies, is now going to be the source of life for the Israelites. And God truly is the source of our life. The second reading from Hebrews reminds us just that. Listen now. "For this reason, Jesus is the mediator of a new covenant, since a death has taken place for deliverance from transgressions under the first covenant." This passage from the letter to the Hebrews tells us that now Jesus Christ has given us a new covenant that is made between us and God. And this covenant was established when Jesus Christ climbed upon the cross. This new covenant that Jesus has now created with us follows the tradition of all Old Testament covenants, in which a sacrifice needed to be made, blood must be poured out to symbolize new life that we have with God. Listen now. "Jesus entered once and for all into the sanctuary, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, thus obtaining eternal redemption." Yet what is so unique about this new covenant with Christ is that Christ himself is the one that is sacrificed, and it is Jesus whose blood is now poured out for the redemption of the world, so that all might be saved. Yet, before this new covenant could be carried out by Christ, it had to be ratified between Christ and his apostles. This happened at the time of the Last Supper, the event in which Jesus institutes the very first Mass. It is at this time, at the Last Supper, that the apostles sit at the same table with Jesus Christ, and they actively enter into a new covenant with Christ by eating the body and drinking the blood of Christ. Now remember, the apostles were representatives of the church, and in doing so, now the body and the blood of Christ becomes a source of life for us all. Every time we come to Mass and we celebrate the Eucharist, we now receive the body and blood of Jesus Christ. We now receive the source of life in this world and the world to come, the world we are all tending to, heaven. Just as in all the Old Testament covenants, the people were sprinkled with the blood of the sacrificed animal to ritually symbolize the new communion of life they now had with God, now we eat and drink the body and the blood of Jesus Christ, and yet they are not a symbol. They are the true and real presence of Jesus' body and blood that we take in. And from that real presence of Christ, we now have life, and life in abundance. Remember the Bread of Life discourse in John's Gospel, chapter 6, verse 54, in which Jesus teaches the apostles and tells them, "Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood will have eternal life." Jesus is teaching the apostles and now us the importance of the Eucharist and how the body and blood of Jesus Christ truly is the source of life for each and every one of us. And now we continue that same belief. Every time we celebrate Mass, we truly eat the body and blood of Christ. We believe in the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist. Remember last week when we celebrated the Holy Trinity, we learned that the presence of the Holy Trinity is fully on display at the time of the consecration, in which the priest holds out the hosts and he says, "Take this, all of you, and eat it. This is my body." Then he takes the chalice and he says, "Take this, all of you, and drink from it. This is the cup of my blood, the blood of the new and everlasting covenant. It'll be shed for you and for all so that sins may be forgiven. Do this in memory of me." The priest, when he speaks those words, is speaking the words of Jesus Christ, that Christ spoke at the time of the Last Supper. And those words, and only those words, have the power to command the Holy Spirit to descend upon the altar and consecrate the bread and the wine into the body and blood of Christ. When we come up here for communion and the Eucharistic minister or the priest says, "The body of Christ," or "the blood of Christ," our response is, "Amen." Well, that comes from the Latin root word, amani, which means, "so be it." So be it. I truly believe what I am about to receive is the body of Christ and the blood of Christ. From our belief that we are truly eating the real presence of Christ in his body and blood at the time of the Eucharist, and based upon Jesus' promise in John's Gospel, we are entering into a communion of life with God. We are entering into a body-blood relationship with God. Now, let me give you a great image that will help you to understand and appreciate the Eucharist, the body and blood of Jesus Christ, evermore in our lives. It's the image of an infant in the womb of its mother. For approximately 9 months, the infant is constantly being nourished by the mother's body and blood through the umbilical cord. It's an act of receiving and giving life. The mother's body is constantly making all kinds of changes and sacrifices for the infant in her womb. The mother makes adjustments in her own lifestyle. She stops drinking, smoking. She adheres to maybe a healthier diet. She begins to take supplemental vitamins, maybe even begins to exercise more. The mother is keenly aware of the communion of life she now shares with her infant. Better yet, she shares a body and blood relationship with her child. Now take that image and apply it to God and us. God is like a loving parent who wants nothing more than to give us life and life in abundance. And therefore, each time we come to Mass, we are fed with the body and blood of Jesus Christ through the umbilical cord of the Holy Spirit. And therefore, we share a communion of life with God, in which the source of that life is Jesus Christ and his true presence in the body and blood of Christ that we eat and drink. Just like a child can't live out of the womb of its mother before the first 25 weeks of life, neither can we live outside the church without receiving the divine nourishment from Christ. Now, while in the womb of its mother, the infant for approximately 9 months is being nourished by the mother's body and blood. And in doing so, it grows, develops, and matures. And after 9 months, it is ready for life in this world and therefore is born. The same thing holds true with us. Every time we receive the body and the blood of Jesus Christ throughout our entire life, we are constantly developing, maturing, growing. And in our case, as disciples of Jesus Christ, living witnesses to what Jesus teaches, to the gospel. And yet, when it is our time to leave this world and go to the next world of heaven, now we are able to enter into a new life in that new world of heaven because the Eucharist has developed and prepared us. It has properly equipped us for eternal life. My friends, today, our church around the world celebrates the great feast of the body and blood of Jesus Christ. It's the greatest gift that God could ever give us, other than the gift of His only Son. And just like blood is absolutely crucial for the life of our bodies, so too is the body and blood of Jesus Christ. It is absolutely crucial for our own spiritual and eternal life. Furthermore, this feast reminds us that the body and the blood is the source of our life. And every time we receive it, we draw into a deeper and deeper communion of life with God. And that can only happen because we have a body-blood relationship with God. And may the peace and the grace of Jesus Christ rest upon you always.